Mall of America. For more than 30 years, it has been a retail leader and an international destination, and it remains the largest mall in the U.S. Not to mention, it welcomes millions of guests from around the world. It's huge, but it's also so much more. In this podcast, you're going to hear the real stories of how it started and why it continues to thrive. You'll hear about challenges we faced along the way and what you can learn from them. We will feature guests and experts from all walks of life and business, and along the way, you'll laugh, learn, and maybe even change the way you look at things. So if you're a fan of the mall, a brand new visitor, an entrepreneur, or a dreamer, prepare to dive deep into so much more. This podcast is presented by the Bloomington Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Hello and welcome to So Much More. I am Jill Renslow, the Chief Business Development and Marketing Officer for Mall of America. And I have my co-host here, Chris Grob, who's a VP of Experiential. And we are very excited because we are talking with leaders on our operations team here at Mall of America. Because people marvel at the size of the mall. We are 5.6 million square feet. And we often get asked, how do you run a building of that size? Well, today we're going to be taking a look at two of our longstanding leaders here at the mall who have a combined experience of 50 years and who run this operations team here. So please welcome Rich Hoagie, our Chief Operating Officer, and Brian Spielman, our Vice President of Attractions. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Welcome,
friends.
Appreciate it.
I love that I'm the most junior member with 12 years of experience.
We have a very special tenure at Mall of America, and we're privileged to have such expertise in our building. And so, Rich, let's start with you. You cover a lot of areas across the property on the operations side of the fence. So talk to us about what you oversee and what your day-to-day looks like.
Yeah, thank you, Jill. So, again, Rich Hoagie, I've been here for 32 years this year in 2024. It'll be 32 years. So started before the mall opened and started in a different role here at Mall of America. My current responsibilities are just what Jill said, operations across the entire property. So things like attractions operations, things like construction, things like maintenance, engineering, technical services, housekeeping, accounting, human resources, IT, legal, those types of operations. So large group, a lot of great leaders that I work with, a lot of great staff that we work with here at Mall of America.
I love it. And Brian, you have the fun job. You get to do attractions. So I would imagine your kids think you ride rides all day long, but talk to us a little bit about your responsibility and what your day-to-day looks like.
That's it. I oversee the attractions for Mall of America, primarily Nickelodeon Universe, but Crayola Experience and mini golf courses, guest services for the mall, our F&B operations, retail operations. So, yeah, it's all the fun stuff for sure. And I wonder what Rich's day looks like with all those topics, right? I know if it's like mine, you're running from one thing to the next. You're dealing with a budget concern or issue to how do we get SpongeBob through that doorway?
And that's what we love, right? Every day is different. We never have the same day twice. And I think that's why there is so much longevity here in all of our positions, in all levels of the organization, because it is very dynamic and unique. And every day is a new challenge and a new opportunity. So I would love for you guys to both share your stories of how you got started. So Brian, let's start with you. We know you have an interesting path to leadership. So what did day one look like?
Wrong turn at Albuquerque, so Bugs Bunny would say. So, yeah, gosh, trying to think of how old I was. 26-year-old man coming in this place and kind of in a transitionary period of my life, and retail was my background. So I did not start making fudge, but that was one of my progressions, was the fudge maker at the old general store in Camp Snoopy. So retail was my background. I started as a retail team lead, and I wasn't very good at displays and setting up Dimdaco angels and candle displays and things. So they said, maybe we'll move this guy to the candy counter and the fudge counter. And that was kind of my first gig there, the paper hat and sitting in the window slanging fudge at the old Camp Snoopy. So it has been quite a progression and transition throughout the years. Been fortunate enough just to have a lot of different opportunities from retail to learning ride operations. Had no idea how a theme park runs and what that all entails. So F&B, we ran a movie theater. We had a petting zoo at one time. So I think I've seen it all. I have chased chickens down the midway. right outside the fudge window. Maybe not in the same day, but write incident reports on billy goats that would take kids out, things like that.
That was when we had our petting zoo, I'm hoping. Okay. Yeah, they weren't just random.
Rogue billy goats.
Something animals. We deal
with. Not recently. So, yeah, been an amazing journey. No day has been the same, and that's what has kept me here. My first day, or one of my first days, I did ride one of my freight elevators with a llama. So then I knew,
and again, the petting
zoo,
yeah,
the petting zoo was a big thing back then. So I knew.
Just kind of look at each other like, first day? Yeah.
You too, huh? Yeah, he was thinking the same thing.
He didn't spit on you, did he?
No, he was very calm. And I remember calling my mother saying, this job is a little different than others I've had.
So. Well, and you and I know your brother, you were coaster junkies, right? You were coaster junkies before you ever worked here. So what was that like
always
coming
loved
into this?
Theme parks. And he still says it. He's a global IT director and says, you got the good job. How'd you figure that out running arcades and theme parks? But yeah, we were born in Michigan. So we grew up going to Cedar Point, Kings Island, coaster capital of the world right there. So I remember riding the Beast as a kid. You know, I'm a little taller gentleman, and I was tall enough at probably 8 years old, and I remember doing this thing. And I see my son do that now, right, having the courage to go on some of these larger coasters, more extreme coasters. But, I would have never imagined that in this role now, but certainly landed my dream job somehow through fate. So
we love working with you, and your expertise brings so much value to the team. So awesome. So Rich, how about you? You've literally grown up here and you started with the team. And I think these are consistent stories where you really literally grow up with this organization. There's so many exciting things to share, but tell us about your early days.
Even when you think about that, Jill, as you say that again, when we celebrated 30 years and we had 11 people that have been here for 30 years. And if you go back 25 and 20 years, gets up in the 80 numbers. So really a place where people come and stick around for a while. So, and that's because there's awesome people here, by the way. So I think, as I was 20 years old when I started here, I spent 2 years driving by this place on 494. I was going to school, trade school out in Eden Prairie. So driving by this thing every day and hearing all the conversation about it. And when I was kind of finishing up trade school, I still had some more time to go. My teacher approached me and said, hey, Mall of America called and they're looking for a good guy. And I said, and he said, I want to recommend you to go out there and have that conversation with them. So that's how I ended up getting an interview here at Mall of America. I remember that first interview, and one of the individuals that I met the very first during that interview day when I showed up to work that day still works here as well. So Chris Segla from our tenant relations team was the first person that I seen at Mall of America when I walked up to accept my interview. I remember getting a call that they were interested in hiring me, and I was at my parents' house. I was 20 years old. I was just still in trades. I was still going to school, and they were making me an offer while I was sitting in my bedroom on the edge of my bed. And even then, I was trying to negotiate. For, I think I got them to $8.10 an hour, by the way.
Right?
Yeah, so it was a big win,
and I accepted that job.
And
learned a lot.
I started in second shift maintenance here at Mall of America, working with some very fun people. But I remember the first week at Mall of America, the mall was still being, still wasn't operating yet. And they were like, all right, we need you guys to understand the Mall of America and get to know it. So they didn't have maps. They didn't give us anything. So just go walk around. We spent a week walking around this place, getting lost every time, every corner you go around, you'd be lost. But the point of that was learn your way around the place and you start figuring things out. Nowadays, we give our team members maps and things like that.
I was
like
going to say, so that might still be in our training manual.
Much,
here,
much
don't
easier,
get lost.
But
I don't remember getting a map.
Clearly.
So it must be new.
Yeah.
I worked in the maintenance team, and I was in school for refrigeration and HVAC, and that's where I wanted to be. And short time after that, and just finishing up school, and moved over to that group there. And I spent a lot of years doing that with a really good team of people, and just worked my way through different leadership roles here at the property. And that was the great thing about Mall of America, and it's been that way ever since I've been here, is that they definitely are looking at the people within the organization to create those opportunities for them. And if you work hard and you show a good positive attitude, you can find your way through this organization. And it was fun to do that.
Absolutely. I think all four of us have had those doors open for us to go through and to see what challenges and opportunities are on the other side. And that's one of the times Chris, you and Brian work together on a lot of special projects outside of your day-to-day with a lot of the new adventures we like to conquer. So, Chris, can you remember back kind of one of the first projects you work with Brian as you guys ventured off on some of the crazy ideas.
Yeah. And honestly, I remember you introduced me to Brian right after my interview. I had just interviewed with you and we were walking in the old HR hallway and you introduced me to Brian and talked about the theaters.
You stayed.
Recoil and fear. No, but we had a brief conversation about some of the things and opportunities just with that. And then off we go. And then I start and I remember just kind of taking stock of what we had and learning what people did. And I didn't realize your attachment to the theme park at that point. But I remember then just kind of like coming over and going, okay, so what if we tried? What if we did some of this? And you were always open to ideas. And everybody has been. Everybody's been open to ideas. But I think one of the big ones for me, outside of the theater stuff, which was great, and you were just like, be well on your journey.
Chris was thinking I was a terrible general manager of a theater, and he was correct. I had no idea what I was doing. And that's been one of the most amazing things about, again, this journey is we have the talent and I'll say the determination to figure anything out. And that's what it was. It was an opportunity to take over a former AMC theater and run this movie theater. And that's an interesting challenge. So Chris wanted to do these crazy, let's do this screening or this different event. This must be what it is. I don't know any different. So yeah,
we had fun doing it.
Yeah, we did.
It was a lot of fun. But I remember a couple things. The first was when we were replacing the entry point for the east entrance of the park, and there was an idea to try and do something digital over there. And I remember talking to you about, like, how do people use this? How do people engage? And what do they look like? Because we had seen the digital things not really work all the time. So I was like, what if we built something practical? And we really set the stage for something irreverent here. And you were on board. We're like, okay, let's see what we can do. And then we take the idea forward and convince more people, you know, maybe a farting chair is the way to go. And, you know, again, it's one of those things where...
Nothing better than being in an executive budget meeting and proposing such things.
I love it. Every time I'm all and I walk by that area and there's families there going to get their picture. And I love offering to take their picture at that time trying to encourage somebody, the mom or dad or somebody, getting that middle seat so all the kids and the family start laughing.
But, and that's it. You taking that thought and that idea and asking that question, how do guests use this? And I'm, well, let's walk down there. Let's grab our broom and pans and sweep as we would. And watch how people interact, and that's what they want to do. They would take photos, and back before selfies, it was a lot of, will you take my photo? And it's still there, and the smiles are priceless.
Well, and it's crazy how, now that I'm thinking about it, as we've worked together, we continue to do that. Galveston, Texas, going down there with the fellas, looking at the Larson Loop. That was going to be our new attraction until we got down there and looked at it. We're like,
a lot of buses and bullets dodged for sure on some of these ideas. But yeah,
but even
now,
as we're working on the development of the water park, what do? We go out and we ride everything. We watch everybody. We want to make sure that we're putting the best thing in front of the guests possible. And from slime chairs to water coasters, I guess, you know, that's what we do.
That's why you guys are so great at what you do, because you keep the guest in mind. It's through the lens of the guests is how we want to develop our experiences, and you're curious and you try new things, and we love to support that, and it makes it fun what we do, but it also puts together a destination where people know that anything is truly possible. So I would love to hear from all three of you, what has been that one project or partnership or obstacle that you've tackled over your career that just really you remember, and that really makes this place special. So is there something that stands out aside from riding water slides with your colleagues and having those uncomfortable moments?
Well, there's nothing to bond closer than a couple of grown old men wearing their no shirts and riding coasters and
with other people
slides.
You don't know because your buddies took off on the one in front of you.
New families. Yeah. Yeah.
So Chris, you go first. Any other highlights, big projects?
I think I would just observe here again that, working alongside Brian and Nate, especially on the water park, like we have these complementary skills, and I learn so much from the people that I work with all the time. And that's one of the things that makes it so interesting and engaging is you were a coaster kid. You grew up loving coasters, and here we are and we get to do these things. But everybody here is passionate for this place and what we put in front of guests. So it's easy to put yourself in the guest shoe because we all were. You know, in one way, shape, or form, we were all guests whether it was a different park or a different retail center that we can apply here. So that's one of the things I love. As far as obstacles, things we're proud of overcoming, I mean, there's so many, and I feel like I just go back to my greatest hits, but I really love when
that's his list of greatest hits. Yeah,
but that first year that we did close on Thanksgiving, you know, that was a big challenge at the time. But I remember even the year before that and thinking about it, you and Patrick Wand were bundled up, you know, in the wee hours of the morning because you were walking the parking ramps. You were on parking ramp duty. And so we were talking about it like, okay, what are we doing? What's going on? But just having those conversations and doing the what ifs. And so I think, again, you look at what we've built from just those natural conversations in those positions, and it's really something to be proud of. What we do here over Thanksgiving and Black Friday, or what we don't do on Thanksgiving.
You do on Black Friday. Flashbacks and memories. I had forgotten that. I think I blocked that down, way down deep, sitting in parking ramps at 3 a.m. Yeah, and warming shelters. And it's so tough to pick one. I think Adventure Bay sticks out to me as one of the, I guess, more proud achievements, just because it was such a challenging project, both from, you know, selecting an attraction and what all goes into that process and selling it to a guy like Rich. Who,
so for those that aren't familiar, Adventure Bay
is a playground based off of the Paw Patrol characters. Adventure Bay is their hometown. Sorry.
Inside of Nickelodeon.
Inside of Nickelodeon, replacing a traditional, I'll say, not even traditional, a legendary
one of my
piece of hardware. See, I had to, convince Jill that there was a new momentum and something that would work better for this generation.
Also, we can't make parts anymore.
Yeah, we forgot. Yeah.
Also that. So that was the things that helped me. Yes. This legacy ride was challenging to maintain, and how do you sell that, and how do you convince, you know, a very fanatic group that we're going to do a playground indoors, which might be kind of underwhelming, but the fact that it was Adventure Bay, we're truly creating this beloved experience from the show, and again, working with people like Chris and Nate and yourselves and our partners at Paramount. Just amazing to think back on that project and seeing the whole thing from concept through opening in 2018 is an amazing experience.
And I think the beauty of the projects that we work on, we get to see the guest reaction. We get to see the emotion that is evoked with the things that we launch and roll out and introduce. And so it's really rewarding when we can see that emotion come through on the hard work that we do to bring it to our guests. So, Rich, how about you?
It's all that
highlights.
Start and finish. Mm-hmm. You get to see it come to completion and get going again. So I think if I look back, and I grew up here, obviously, but I think about that conversion from, you know, Camp Snoopy, Park at Mall of America to Nickelodeon Universe, and, you know, being tapped on the shoulder alongside Jill to pull that together was quite the experience, and a huge challenge in a very short duration of time. So I think it was about an 8-month project that we undertook to reinvent that park, that entire park, put in all that new hardware. There was, you know, 7 pieces of hardware that got moved around or added to that operation during that time, and just working with the partners that we had and working alongside Jill to make that happen with a great team around us doing that as well. I'm not trying to take credit for it all, but we were leading that project and it was fun. And I think it really established our relationship, Jill, and kind of how we were looked at within this organization. And it led to a lot of other great projects that we moved right from there into these massive renovations during the mall was open and operating, and we were doing these things to these large expansions. So love seeing that stuff happen. But most importantly to me is just working with all the good people here at Mall of America. And it takes a lot of people to make this happen on a daily basis.
I love that. So going back to the size of our property, not only are we big in size, but we welcome a lot of guests, 32 million guests a year. We have a lot of fun facts. And people love to hear trivia about the mall and hear fun facts. You guys have those facts at your fingertips. There's so many big numbers that you guys work with. So Brian, let's start with you. Some of the Nickelodeon fun facts. Let's hear about some rides.
I think the most amazing one to me is our late great and dear friend, Lenny Werner, went out and measured our Big Rig's track to find out what is a lap around that thing. And then we know that a cycle is so many laps.
Big
Rig's is a kiddie trucking ride, right? Where you can sit in there. Big guy like me, you got to sit up top. But the kids love it. They used to have horns on there, which would drive
Thank
you.
Thank goodness.
Used to have horns.
Used to have
horns.
One of my first changes, day one. Okay, we're getting rid of these. But Lenny had gone out and measured the track to figure out how far have these things traveled? Because it's a legacy ride. It's been in there, I believe, since grand opening, at least pretty close to that. So he went and calculated that big rigs, trucking, had driven to the moon and beyond. So 250,000 miles, and I think the moon is 238,000 miles. So I thought that's amazing, not only a cool statistic, but that he took the time to go do that because he knew how far that thing's gone around. So
that is great.
That's one that sticks out to me for sure. You know, log chute having 350,000 gallons of water, and it is pretty cool too. Amazing when they turn those pumps on or off or have to engage that ride, how the tidal wave comes down. So
that's fantastic.
There are two that stick out to me.
I like it. Well, how about the top ride in Nick Universe? Which one gets the most rides?
Orange Streak, about 1 million a year. So ridership is somewhere around that 30 million. Again, averaging 1 million a year for over 30 years now. So it's just a solid ride, family coaster. And I know that was my son's first coaster, and he's finally brave enough to go on there. So I hope, I'm sure generations of people
have
that experience.
Okay, Rich, fun facts.
Oh, man, we were debating some of these last night with some friends. So I throw a few of them out, and then somebody just asked me another interesting one today. So how many rolls of toilet paper do we use here at Mall America? 111,000 rolls of toilet paper on an annual basis.
And if you really want to know,
that's 1 million or 1.1 million sheets of toilet paper. So yeah. So that's a big one. I think our park, the Mall America is 5.6 million square foot facility. Our parking garage is at another 3.3 million square feet, right?
And how many parking stalls?
On the entire property, the two parking garages and the property here, there's 13,000. With our surface lots, we're up to 17,000 parking stalls.
And all free for our guests.
All free for our guests, yeah.
Take advantage of.
Yeah. And Brian protects them. So he's out there walking around, make sure they're safe. So
that's right. And got his hat on and he's out there.
All bundled up. So but that's another good point that all of our staff pitches and make those things happen. So
that is great.
One other cool stat. We use 110 million kilowatt hours of energy every year, and we got about 15,000 tons of cooling here in the building. So that's enough to cool, say, 7,500 homes, right, for this property. So, yeah.
And we always love the fun fact, because we're based in Minnesota, that we don't have any central heat, and it's very hard for guests to understand that.
Yeah.
But we make it happen with our skylights and our body temperature and the vestibules that are heated. But that's always a fun fact that people can't get over, that we're in Minnesota and we don't have central heat.
Yeah, Mall of America was green before green was cool, and that's a fact. So there was really an intention to make that happen back in the day, and it works. So,
absolutely. Yeah. So what advice do you have for young professionals if they're looking for a career path in the operations industry, whether that be maintenance, if it's operations, if it's housekeeping, if it's management, any of those areas, HVAC, what does that look like? What advice would you give those young professionals?
It's a good question. I would say, I think just your openness, your mindset, your attitude can bring you a long ways. I learned to make fudge without any experience doing that, and managing a petting zoo without any official training. So yeah, I think it's more about the attitude and just your willingness to try and explore new things. I think operations is obviously about efficiency and looking for those opportunities to work with different team members. And that's what sets us apart. And I think our team here at Mall of America, and it certainly has helped my career.
That's great. Rich.
Yeah. I think if you're lifelong learners and you're digging in, I think, it's all about personality. You can teach people a lot of things in life, right? And people can learn a lot of things. So come with a good personality, a real can-do attitude, good work ethic, and you're going to go a long ways. I mean, as you're moving through and growing within an organization, remember where you came from. That's extremely important. And sometimes I think people get tripped up on that one. But those that are really successful do that, and they find that empathetic way to lead. So I think that's extremely important as you make your way.
That's great. And I'm going to add another one to your list of talents, is your master problem solvers. I think that you really help the rest of the team as we come up with creative ideas, and that's a collective thought process, but you help us make the impossible possible. And I think that's a true trait for this entire team and for our organization, that we truly can make anything happen. So I think that's great. Well, we're going to wrap things up with a little speed round so that our viewers and listeners can learn a little bit more about you guys. And Chris, you're going to get added into this mix. They're easy questions. So first off, start it really easy. Favorite ride in Nickelodeon Universe?
Log ride, log chute.
Okay,
right
log
now
chute.
You log chute.
Oh, sorry, Brian.
You're good. I almost spit my water out right here.
What's your favorite ride?
Oh, Avatar Airbender.
Okay, Rich.
High five, same ride, man.
So, Avatar. Yeah. Okay, favorite pastime outside of Mall of America? Chris.
I enjoy going to professional wrestling with my family.
Brian.
Ruining a good walk, golfing. Yeah, it's my favorite.
Hunting with my family and friends.
Okay, I like it. If we were to look on your Spotify list, what would be the number one song on that list? Reverse order, Rich.
Probably I Love a Rainy Night.
Ooh, something Bob Marley. Yeah.
Sarcastrophe by Slipknot was my most listened to of the year.
Favorite vacation spot, Brian?
Ooh, Florida, beach.
Golfing?
Might. We might have time to work that in, a little early morning round before the kids get up. You never know.
I love it. Chris?
Palm Springs.
Ooh, Palm Springs. Over Disney.
No, I'm going to Palm Springs.
Surprising. Mm-hmm. Rich?
Continue to go back to Florida quite often, but I'd say Hawaii is just a magical place, so love it.
And last question, what was your favorite brand here, past or present? It could be retail, restaurant, or attraction. Rich?
Twin City Grill.
Present. Okay. Current.
Gosh, that's a good one. Oakley, I'll say for me. I still go there all the time.
Okay.
Love Oakley.
Okay.
I agree with Rich on restaurant. And for retailer, I love Psycho Bunny.
Fantastic. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for the conversation
today.
Wait. Oh, wait,
you got to go too. We're going to turn it on you.
Wait,
Jill,
a second.
Favorite attraction. Favorite ride at Nickelodeon
Avatar
Universe.
Airbender.
Okay.
See if you remember my questions.
Second one. Okay, we're going to skip. Favorite vacation spot?
Favorite vacation spot, I would say Mexico.
Favorite pastime outside of Mall of America?
Pastime, spending time with family / running.
Okay. What would be your number one song on Spotify?
Oh, gosh. There's so many. I would have to say
I thought you was going to say it.
probably a Justin Timberlake song. I'm a fan of JT.
Okay.
So and then I'm not going to sing for you. Sorry.
Favorite brand, past or present?
FAO Schwartz. I miss FAO. Wow, we're all talking about toys lately with all of our toy retailers. So FAO is definitely. I'm impressed that you remembered all my questions.
That was fantastic.
I love it. Well, thank you again so much for joining today. And that's going to do it for this episode of So Much More. Tune in next time and be sure to follow us on where you find your favorite podcasts. Until later. Thanks, folks.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of So Much More. If you want to hear more, be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you find your favorites, including Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. And you can also watch a video cast on YouTube. Go to podcast.mallofamerica.com to leave a review, ask a question, or give us an idea for the show. Until next time, thanks for listening. So Much More is presented by the Bloomington Convention and Visitors Bureau, the official destination marketing organization for the city of Bloomington, Minnesota. Before your next trip to Mall of America, visit bloomingtonmn.org for answers to all your travel questions, deals and packages for hotel stays, and so much more.